King of Glory, Part 2. New Testament. The King Fulfills His Plan. Episode 9. The King's Entrance.
How did you like the first part of the King's book? What did you learn from the Old Testament? Testament means agreement or covenant. Long before God gave the New Testament scriptures, He said, "The time is coming when I will make a new covenant." In the first covenant with His people, God gave them many laws to show them His holiness and their sinfulness. He also gave them many pictures and prophecies about the coming Savior. In the Old Covenant, the prophets foretold the Messiah King will come. But in the New Covenant we read, the Messiah King has come. The New Testament contains the Gospel. In the Arabic language, it is called the Injil. Both words mean good news. The Gospel begins with these words. "This is a record of the ancestors of Jesus the Messiah, a descendant of King David and of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. Isaac was the father of Jacob." Name by name, the scriptures register an unbroken chain of descendants from Abraham to Jesus. God would keep His promise to bless all nations by sending the Savior through Abraham's family line. The New Testament contains four gospel books. Why four? Why not just one? In the Old Testament, God told Moses, "The facts of the case must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses." To confirm His story and message, God chose not just two or three, but four people to write four separate reports about the Messiah's life. Their names are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Like four news reporters covering the same event, each tells the same story, but from four different viewpoints. The New Testament has 27 books in all. The book of Acts, written by Luke, tells what happened after the Messiah finished His mission. God inspired Paul, a former terrorist, James and Jude, Jesus' half-brothers, and Peter and John, fishermen, to write the rest of the New Testament. Each book reveals more and more about the King and His plans for all who love Him. Here now is the rest of His story. It was time. After thousands of years of preparation, God was about to send the promised Savior Messiah King into the world. But who would He be? And how would He come? In the time of Herod, king of Judea, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Why did Gabriel call Jesus the Son of God? Some people think this term means that God took a wife and fathered a son. That is not what it means. If you are from the continent of Africa, some may call you a son of Africa. Does this mean Africa got married and had a child? No, it means you come from Africa. The Messiah is called the Son of God because He came from God. He came into Adam's sin-ruined family, but did not originate from it. He is the very Word, Soul, and Son of God. In the beginning, the Word already existed. He was with God, and He was God. He was in the beginning with God. He created everything there is. Nothing exists that He didn't make. So the Word became human and lived here on earth among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the only Son of the Father. Do you remember the promise God made on the day Adam ate the forbidden fruit? God had announced that the offspring of a woman would crush the serpent's head. That promised offspring was now in the womb of a virgin girl. How He would crush the serpent's head remained to be seen. Mary had been pledged in marriage to Joseph, a carpenter living in Nazareth, a border town in northern Palestine. Both Mary and Joseph were Jews, tracing their ancestry to King David and on back to Abraham. Joseph would have been the crown prince, but his country was ruled by Rome. Roman soldiers patrolled the streets. Jews suspected of treason were arrested and crucified. Tax collectors robbed the people. Life was bitter. But Joseph was excited. Soon, he would take Mary to be his wife. He worked hard to prepare a place where they could live together after the wedding. Then one day, he learned the shocking news. Mary was pregnant. How do you think Joseph felt? It appeared that Mary had been unfaithful to him. Joseph was heartbroken, but he wanted to do the right thing. So he decided to break the engagement quietly because he did not want to put Mary to shame. As he considered this, he fell asleep, and an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to go ahead with your marriage to Mary, for the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this happened to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel," meaning God is with us. Joseph's grief turned to joy. What an honor! Mary would be the mother of the promised Messiah, and he, Joseph, would be the child's legal guardian. The holy Messiah would have a human mother, but no human father. His name would be Jesus, meaning the Lord saves, or simply, Savior. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded. He brought Mary home to be his wife, but she remained a virgin until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. The hand of God was in the whole thing. Seven 700 years earlier, the prophet Micah had foretold that the Messiah King would be born in Bethlehem, the ancient hometown of King David. But there was a problem. Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth, a 3-day journey to the north. How would the scriptures be fulfilled? God had everything under control. As the time approached for Mary to give birth, the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus issued a decree that all subjects of the empire must return at once to the city of their ancestors to register to pay taxes. So Joseph and a very pregnant Mary traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There in Bethlehem, overcrowded with weary travelers in town for the tax registration, the promised offspring of a woman was born. The gospel records the event with precision. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son. On his mother's side, this baby was the newborn son of Mary. But on his father's side, he was the eternal Son of God. The same word by which God created the world. The same voice which thundered from fiery Mount Sinai could now be heard in a baby's soft cry. And where was he born? Not in the palace of a king, not in a hospital, not even in a wayside inn. The King from heaven was born where baby lambs are born, in a barn with a feeding trough for his bed. It was all part of God's plan. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. But couldn't God have arranged some sort of celebration to honor the arrival of his son? He did. To whom did God first make known the news of the Messiah's coming to earth? To the emperor? The rich and famous? The religious leaders? No. The first to receive the electrifying news were poor shepherds, men who raised lambs to be sacrificed on the temple altar in Jerusalem. There were shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. What a story the shepherds had to tell! "The Savior is born! We saw him! We touched him! The angel told us he is Christ the Lord!" A choir of angels filled the sky. The night was like day. "The Messiah has come! He is here! He is here!" Some people believed the shepherds' message. Most did not. But believe it or not, the king, whose birthday split world history in two, had joined the human race. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. After Jesus' birth in the barn, Joseph arranged to have proper lodging for his little family. One day, some excited magi, wise men who study the stars, arrived in Jerusalem. Led by a special star, these men had come from faraway Persia in search of the newborn king. These wise men had one question and one purpose. Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Herod tried to murder the child. The people of Jerusalem ignored him, but the Magi, who crossed a scorching desert to find him, worshipped him and gave him gifts fit for a king, gold, incense, and a costly spice for embalming the dead. Why the embalming spice? Did these wise men know that Jesus had been born to die?